Blog Talk Radio. saturate our heart. Reign, oh, we Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Come on, just worship him. Just worship him for a minute. Give him, come on, give him 2 minutes of your time right now to just stretch out of your circumstances, stretch out of your situation. Get out of the thing that may have been blocking you down today, bottlenecking you from going through and coming out on the inside with purpose, plan, and direction. Come on, give it to him right now. Let it be destroyed by the anointing in the presence of God in worship. Let it all be washed and cleansed away in the presence of Jesus today. Let us really magnify on the blood. Let us utilize the power that the blood makes us white as snow.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Let us bask in the glory of God by activating the name of Jesus.
Thank
the Bible
you,
says that every knee shall bow.
Yes, thank you, God.
You know, when you bow, that means you give of yourself. You get down in a lower position. It is an humbling position. It's showing God that you're greater than me, Lord. I bow down before you today.
Thank
it says
you,
that Lord. It says that also at the name of Jesus, not only will every knee bow, even the just and the unjust, but every tongue, just and unjust, will proclaim with the tongue the name Jesus, that he is Lord. Let us activate that power in our lives today. Woo! Let's just bask in his presence right now. There's no question, family.
Thank you.
That he's here. We don't even have to second think, is Jesus in our presence? Because the Bible does say where there's two or three gathered together in his name, he is in the presence. So let's get all off the formalities that we got to worry about. Is he here?
Hallelujah.
Let's get out of the formalities on whether or not we got the problem that we started with is doesn't have to be there when we get out of here.
Amen.
Let's get in the presence of God, and let's learn to release and cast and give him all that he's requiring of us. Right now. What if you didn't have another second to make the right decision? What if you didn't have another opportunity to say yes to his will, yes to his way, yes to his word?
Hallelujah.
What if your last what if your last chance was over?
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't another opportunity to get back in right standing with God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Father. We must, family, learn to take advantage. Now see, we're still in worship, family. We're still in worship. See, we can worship him with his word. We can worship him in spirit and in truth, and his word is truth.
Hallelujah.
We must learn to get out of ourselves.
Hallelujah.
And the only way it's going to happen is through repetition, family. We must practice these principles as if our life depends on it. Oh, hallelujah. We must get in his presence with an expectation and a willingness to just let him be who he really is, God Almighty, the one entity in this life that we know that has the possibility and the power and the potential to do whatever it is that we need done.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus, but it's in the worship. It's in the choice realm. It's in the zone. It's in the relationship. It's with the barrier of Jesus surrounding you completely. It's in that place. They call it a secret place. Well, we're coming out the closet today, and we're going to make this place a universal place that like-minded believers, like-minded Christians that are in the now can come together and say enough is enough together, and to say is that we're sick and tired together. There's power in numbers.
Yes.
in unity, in team. That's why he said that we should serve one God on one word,
yes,
with one worship.
Yes.
There's no, he said, don't serve any other God but me.
Yes,
he's
right.
Teaching us to be in oneness, that we can be in unity.
Hallelujah.
So when the flow of the Spirit comes, and you scholars out there know that whenever the Bible is referring to the Holy Spirit, it's about a living water that flows.
Mm-hmm.
Flows. Yeah. Look at that word flow. That means the Spirit flows. That we got to get on the Holy Ghost raft and ride with the Spirit. Woo, we gotta get this thing. We gotta get this thing moving, family. We gotta get out of dormancy. We have to activate the power of God that's already moving. Come on, let's get on the living water. Let's ride the Holy Spirit, so we can get in line and position with God. So Lord, we worship you today. Lord, we submit to you. Lord, we glorify you. We magnify you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So we say that if it's anything in my life today that is not pleasing in your sight, take it away. I declare it. I decree it. That if it's anything, I don't care if it's finances, I don't care if it's a new car, I don't care if it's a new job, I don't care if it's new furniture, if there's anything, I don't care if it's friends, I don't care if it's the church I go to, I don't care if it's my fellowship with other people, if it's anything, Lord Jesus, that's in my life that's not according to your will, take it away right now. I declare it and give you permission to move it out my life.
Yes, God. Yeah.
And we pray this prayer together, Lord. We want to be in unison, that we don't want nothing that's not in agreement with you. We don't want to have no part of anything that is not edifying your name on this day. When? Right now. If there's anybody out there that was worried about, well, what I did yesterday, it doesn't matter no more, because we're in our now. God says, put those things behind you.
Mm-hmm.
Reach to the mark of the high calling. He says that when you're in the anyone crowd, old things been passed away. Old things now become new again, so you can put it all behind you and forget it. And get in your now and say, I'm worthy. Get in your now and say, he's accepted me. Get in your now and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No matter who's the preacher, who's the pastor, he's doing this for you personally. You have the ability to succeed. The option is there that we can conquer and win and leave out of this thing victorious. It's possible.
Amen.
The Bible doesn't say that all things are possible through Pastor E. No. The Bible says that all things are possible through Evangelist Bernard. No. The Bible says that all things are possible through Minister Ruby. No. The Bible says that all things, not just one, not just some, but it says all things are possible through Christ Jesus. If that's not encouraging to somebody today, I got another one for you. If that was not encouraging for you, I have another one for you today. That if all things are possible through Jesus Christ, it's nothing possible without him. You can't do nothing without him. Everything you're trying to do on your own today, you might as well give it up. This is a free one for you. You might as well give it up, because it is impossible without Christ being the sole source of what you're trying to do. See, that's the mentality of enough is enough. That means that you just tried it so many times on your own that you must rely on something greater than us to get us to a higher place. Oh, Jesus, we're talking about changing the way we think. Now, we've been going through the principle of changing the way we think by the transference of understanding that if I'm in a conscious mindset, that now I can win the war. I can now be the warrior on the battlefield for the Lord, and I can take back what the enemy has stolen and is continually trying to steal more. And what is that? It's your mind. It's the way you think. Yes, if he could take you out in your body and kill you, that would be okay. But see, with modern technology now, they may take your brain and put it somebody else. and they may become just as smart, as intelligent, and worthy as you. So he's not going to give away a free brain. He's trying to destroy your brain, so we're all in that little 90 hospital down there that they want to do a quick evaluation on you on and get you stuck in there thinking that you done went crazy. Well, that's where enough is enough comes in, is that we're going to take it back. We're going to take back what the enemy has stole, and I want crisis thinking in me. I don't want to think the world way anymore because, I can speak for Pastor E. In my trials and in my tribulations and in my unconscious decision-making, I've been through a lot of stuff. And every time I look back on it, it was because of me and the choices I made. I couldn't blame it on God. Yes, yeah, it felt good to say, why, God, you forsake me. And yes, it would have been good to say, you know, that Pastor so-and-so, if he would have done so, if he would have listened to God, and you know, it would have made me feel better for self-gratification. But when the truth is told and we worship him in what? Got to keep those words sharp. Spirit and in truth. It must rely on truth. So if the truth be told, I didn't make the right decisions. It wasn't God. I'm the one that went left instead of right. I'm the one that said no instead of yes. I'm the one that sat down instead of getting up. I'm the one that put the key in the ignition when something told me don't put the key in the ignition. It was me who made the choice. So as we grow up, as we mature, and as we graduate from doing things the childish way, that's the world way. And now we transfer over into the conscious mind, into the what? The conscious mind, into the what? The conscious mind. When? Right now. I can think like God. When? Right now. I can be in God's presence. When? Right now. He'll bless me. When? Right now. Because what? We position ourselves. Woo, hallelujah. We position ourselves in not the right place. And not the sometime place, we put ourselves in the only place. And the only place is in his arms. The only place is in relationship with him. See, when we take away the other options, then our answer only becomes one thing, Christ. That's why when we get our birthrights back and we regain our confidence, we regain our courage, we regain our hope, our faith, and mostly our trust in him as being the only source of anything we'll ever need, now we rely on nothing but him. I don't have to even call and ask for advice. Yes, wise counsel is great, but when I make my choices, I don't have to rely on someone else because I rely on the only one that is to rely on, Christ. And then watch this, and you out there that experience the same thing in your life right now, in this 30-day preparation that we're going through for our new beginning, stuff is, it doesn't take God's word an hour, a day, or a year to come to you. When he gives you his word, now watch this, when he gives it to you, you might as well sit by the phone because somebody is about to confirm what God has said. When? Immediately. Take some time and just communicate with Evangelist Bernard or call me or Sister Ruby, and we can attest that we've seen in these last 10 days, 15 days, the move of God in such a miraculous way that when he sends it to us, not when we go look for it, but when he sends it to us, before we can even blink our eyes, the confirmation is already there. We serve a now God that's about to do some now things. That's why we're in preparation to get where he wants it to go. No longer will I live by the things of this world. No longer will I be conformed to its ways. No longer will I allow it to bamboozle me into thinking that there is some great reward on the other side. Because it's not. There are no bonuses for following the subconscious mind. There are no bonuses for following the subconscious mind. We already confirmed that the subconscious mind is unreliable. It's untrustworthy. You cannot trust it. It will send you down the wrong way. It will give you the wrong solution. It will force you to do things they really don't want to do. That's why it's faulty. But as we learn, as we're going through our steps, learning our principles, see, a principle is a plan. A principle is something that you take and you move with it from left to right, and you say, you know what, it's not all over in one day. But if I work the principles of God's word, as God instructs me to work it, I can have exactly what I desire. Now, how am I so confident about that? Because as you start to go through these principles and understand that it's all the word of God, there's nothing in the principles that represent anything other than the word of God. So as you rely on what? The word of God, that is the truth, you can now learn that the word comes to life and will design a path of righteousness for us. See, the word of God is meant to be spoken into existence. The word of God says, speak those things that are not, meaning they're not here, you don't see them, they're not tangible, but speak those things that are not as if they already were. Were is another one of those completion words. Mean it's already done. I don't have to fight and scratch and wonder what's going on. I just got to, we must get in position. Where? Get where? Now, here's a freebie. A lot of us don't like to be told what to do. Not a good, I mean, I'm not pointing fingers. I'm not calling out anybody because I'm probably as guilty as anyone. I will confess today that I'm working on it. And I'm believing that no longer am I going to be short-tempered and rough as a sandpaper. Because I do ride 24/7, and I believe if you say you're going to do it, you should do it. But God is showing me, and friends in my life are showing me, that you know what, Pastor E, that's you. Everybody's not as excited as you are. And yes, you want them to be as excited as you are, but they're not. So, God, it confirmed that, you know what, it's a way of doing everything. But we cannot waver to the point where it's not important enough that we just let people go, because we are supposed to share the word. We are supposed to go and do what? Make disciples. But our principle living, our principle following will now give us the proper instructions where we can stop coming back defeated. And like I said in the first part, blaming God for something that wasn't even God's fault. Now, I know that everyone on this line today came here for immediate change. I know everyone on this line today is not willing to leave here the same they came. That everyone here is looking to go higher. And if somebody's there with you, just look at them. And if they're in the house, just look at them and say, you know what? We going higher. Because if we can master the way we think, if we can master that it's not my thinking but God's thinking in our lives, half of the battle is already won. Half of the struggle is already completed. Half of the struggle, you can might as well just put it to the side and start concentrating on something a little bit more valuable, because that's the cross we're bearing for that day. See, if we learn to go through the conscious mind and go through the same steps that we're about to learn, that will lead us to righteousness. Now, family, I know some of us are a little shyer than others, and some of us will just kind of wait around for things that pop up and happen. But here's another free one that I'll share with you. And you're going to say, I knew that already. But I want to share it in this form because it's important for us to follow instructions. Not my instructions. Not her instructions, not his instructions, but God's instructions. Now, most people will not ask questions. It's just beyond some people to ask questions for whatever reason. And then they go through, and then they develop their own answers. And then they eventually make wrong choices because they didn't follow the process. And they end up here, and they end up there, and they end up this, and this happened, and that happened, and now I blame God again because I didn't hear right, or I blame God again because now I have to go through another struggle that I set myself up for. But God is saying, he's saying enough is enough. God is saying that it's our turn, it's our time to step up to the plate. He did it. He came as Christ. He did his part. He came down here. He walked in a place that was filthy to him. God is from heaven. God is from the most beautiful place. We could just keep going on and on in all the beauty of heaven. But he left this comfort of heaven to come to earth for us. He's already did it already. We don't have to. There's really no more requirement, God, if you look at it from a real standpoint, because he came that we might have life and life more abundantly. If I can have life more abundantly, that means I have to follow the life giver, and I have to do the things that the life giver tell me to do. When? Next week? No, you're going to get left behind. Well, I made a 5-year plan, and this 5-year plan, I'm going to, no, brother or no sister, it will not happen. You will get left behind because nothing's promised. Tomorrow is not promised. We have a now to operate in, and glory to God, we have another now to go when it's proper. But he may have a short mission for you. He may have another mission for you to go to another level. It may be time to exit. No one knows the hour or the time. So why not focus on when? Right now, to be a better person, to be more in line. Now, get this. I use the word more in line instead of in line because every day is a struggle. We are fighting the battle so we can stay in line. So our focus must be so our focus must be so connected to his every move that we're in position already anticipating God to come. But most people are looking for God to go chase him and get under him. We need to be so proactive. See, proactive is that you do it on your own. Most people are reactive. Let me give you a for instance. You know you're in the kitchen a lot. You cut your own meat, your own vegetables, and everything. I cook too, so I guarantee you one time or another you're going to nick yourself. And you know this as a fact because it's happened so many times over the year. But you don't buy Band-Aids. See, that's reactive. That means you got to cut yourself, see the blood, and then panic, mess up the food you're cooking, run to CVS to get some Band-Aids, come back, everything's burnt up, and now you're saying, why me? Instead of being proactive, knowing I use butcher knives, I use sharp knives every day, I'm going to probably nick myself. Why don't I just go buy some batteries and be proactive? That's what God is calling us to do, to be proactive in position, already waiting for him to get there. And then check this out. This is dynamic. If we go and do what God has called us to do and be looking for him to come because we anticipate him, that means we already fought the fight. Now we're proving to him that we have now learned the lesson of Jesus Christ because the mind of him is in us, because we're not conformed to this world, Romans 12:2, but we are now transformed by the what? Renewing of our mind. Now God will find us pleased in his sight. He's looking for those. That's what it says in John 4:24. He's looking for such. If he's looking for you, don't you mean that would tell me I got to be ahead of the game where God is looking for me instead of us looking for God? That's what position is. Position is being proactive. It's the willingness to die of self, hallelujah. It's the willingness to let something greater live than me. Something what? Greater than us. Something greater than us. Now, we talked all about the subconscious mind. Everything on your drawing, we solidified by scriptures. We talked about how their attributes hinder us. By making unconscious choices, we will keep living in our past failures. We'll always remember that when it starts to hurt, let me go to my past because that's my comfort. But I still end up in pain. Today, right now, we're finna put that aside us because those are just the weapons of warfare for us. That's not where we want to really spend a lot of time, family. He's already been defeated. We just need to know what the weapons are. We need, you know, our conscious mind will now fight the war of the mind, so we'll know what the enemy is coming with before he even comes with it. Oh, it's a war. Them late night thoughts and unsleepless nights. They can't focus at work because one side is saying this and one side is saying that. I don't know what's going on for you, but to me, that would show me it's a war going on. There's a tug. There's a pull. Paul said it. He said, even though I want to do right, even though I wake up in the morning with the motivation to want to do the right thing, and this is paraphrasing, that there's a thorn in my side that continually reminded me of how bad I want to be. But by the goodness and the glory of God, we have a chance to make a choice right there. Paul made a choice. He said, hey, I'm not going. Even though I have a thorn and I have it for the rest of this flesh that lives, I'm not going to choose to do what I want to do. See, it wasn't just a thorn. He said, when I want to do wrong, I then want to do bad. So that tells me there's a struggle, there's a battle, there's a fight, there's a pull from one side to the other. Well, today we're going to talk about the side that we need to spend the majority or all of our time. Every second, minute, hour, week, month, year. 24/7, 365, this is the place that God has developed inside of us that if we get it cleansed out, we get it proper, we get it ready to receive, that he will come and sup with us and allow us now to sup with him. See, sup is when you give unto. Check this out. God has all. What does he need from me? What does he need from you? God's everything. He's all that. But he will allow us to now give it to him because we suck back. But we can't. He's not going to receive anything that's not holy. He's not going to receive anything that's not just. He's not going to receive anything that's not pure. He's not going to receive anything that is not of him. That's why the prayer earlier was, if there's anything that's not in line with your will, take it away. Because some of us are hindered from going to the next level or receiving the next anointing or receiving the next season because we got some stuff hanging around us that's not really us, but it's influencing everything of us. Their comments, their suggestions, are they of God? If they're of God, I want to listen. If they're of God, I have to receive them as prophecy spoken into my life. If they're of God, I have to trust that it's not about me, it is not about the person, but it's about God delivering his uncompromisable word. But that's where, in the war zone, we become the watchman. We become the warrior. We become the caretaker of our own environment. See, I could teach this seminar all day long to you. I could give you every principle. And I could tell you how I've been able to implement these principles in my life and see victory immediately. But that will not give you victory. The way I fight my battle may encourage you to fight yours. It may show you that some of my techniques may be usable. But in your war, you got to develop your own game plan. You have to develop your own routes And you have to know who's on your team. You have to develop relationships with other people like God is developing with us, so now we can be in line and know that it's not by chance. It's not by, for instance. But it is divine revelation that has been sent from heaven, from God, directly for you. See, in the conscious mind, see, that's where we are called to stay focused and connected. Remember we talked about that, I think it was the week before last, the three types of attenders. Selective, they only pay attention when there's something that's directed to them only and that will help them only. Pretenders, they pretend they're looking at you, but if you ask them what you said, they couldn't give you the first letter. Not the first word. They couldn't even give you the first letter because they're pretending. They're looking you in your face, and it looks like you're reaching them, and it looks like they're getting it. And then after the service or after the seminar or after the class, you go to them and you say, man, I just saw you on me the whole thing. Man, what was I talking about? They grab their Bible, open up. Maybe they might have took a note, but then they tell you something from last Sunday. Those are pretenders. But God is calling us to be a focused, attention, connected child of God. See, this is where we receive reliable information. That's where, see, in the conscious mind is where creative visions come from. See, over in the subconscious mind, we're trying to steal somebody else's idea. In the subconscious mind, because it's faulty. It will tell you, oh, they're not going to remember that. Oh, you were there, so you can say you're a part of it. They'll give you all the reasoning, all the culture and authority things, all of the intuitional things that will tell you it's okay to take somebody else's idea. He's the author and the finisher of confusion. He's the author and the finisher of corrupt, chaotic movement. But in the conscious mind, we can have godly ideas. We can have godly visions. It's where we make conscious choices that will now result in lifelong praise that's established with God. See, that's where we get into a line where we don't have to go and hear a praise team tell me, lift your hands and praise him, because now we have a lifelong commitment to him that no matter what happens, I will praise you. When it's good, I'll praise you. When it's bad, I'll praise you. When it's not so bad, I'll praise you. When it's not so good, I'll praise you. When I'm up, when I'm down, when I'm every situation, I will give you praise, because now we have developed a lifelong praise that's established through the blood of Jesus. The conscious mind is also, it's where we file. Our senses. All things that you learn are not bad things. But it's what's bad is when you take them for the bad thing. When I learned not to do this because it's bad, that's a good thing. I had to learn that lesson. But if I continue to live on it, now I'm conformed to this world because I didn't take the lesson that came very free, and I continue to walk and talk and live by the ways of this world, thinking that just because I put on the right dress or suit and go to church, everybody think I'm a Christian. Everybody think everything all right. And you know they're not going to really say nothing to you because sister so-and-so or brother was in the same club you was in last night. So you know that's not going to come out. So we feel accomplished because we make it to church. I don't want to stop you from going to church. Believe me, I don't. But if you're going for those reasons, you need to move around and change directions and do something different, because listen, God is looking for the best from us. He's requiring the best from us. Now, just like the methods of the subconscious mind, we went down and we said that, you know, that we're led first by our five senses, then through intuition, reasoning, culture and authority, past files. But there's four steps that God has given me to share that will now keep us in line with our choice making. Where? In our conscious mind. When? Right now. Oh, no, 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 I can't do it. I have to think now. I want to put it off. I don't feel like dealing with it. No, 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 no. You got to deal with it now. Oh, they're going to think I communicate too much. No, no, no. Don't be deteriorated away. Say it now. If there's an issue going on and you can see it coming, proactively you need to say something about it. You need to be the one to stand up and say, you know what, family, hey, we got to, well, you know what, today, I know we won't work, but we got to deal with a family issue today. See, somebody has to be the lead example maker to show that we got to start to speak up. You cannot let things idly go by thinking they're going to be all right later. We have to be proactive. So when you're proactive, now for those of you that have the drawing, taking notes, I hope everybody's taking notes. These are the functions of the conscious mind. This will go on the left side where we haven't did much writing. But number one thing that God is requiring for us to do in our conscious mind is to recognize. The definition of recognize is to be aware of existence. I see you there. I am recognizing you. Eye to eye contact. I recognize you. I see your existence here. But number two tells me that once I recognize, I must then identify it. See, when you identify something, that tells you on whether it's good for you or not. If it's going to bring you harm or bring you love. If it's going to steal or not. See, when you identify, okay, yes, I know you and I recognize you're here. But I know this is a conscious choice here, family. Because remember I was talking about asking questions. If you ask a question, what do you get? You get an answer. And I don't care how you, whether you want to or not, but once you ask the question and you get the answer, now you're going to have to make a choice. You're going to have to make a conscious choice on whether to jump off the bridge or not. You're going to have to make a conscious choice and say, you know what? It's up to me. I have the power within to do better. I have the power within to change my circumstances. I have the power within me to do all things. Number three, once you recognize the existence of it, then you identify on whether it's good or bad. Now you have to what they call organize. See, God will give you some things that are for right now, and he will give you a right now word for it. But some things he meant for you just to see a vision of it, to give us some encouragement on where we're going, so now we can activate our faith by what? The word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. And now my faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. So in my faith, in my hope realm, I now can organize it for future use. I can arrange it in order. I can now put a time stamp on it for later. Save this for God. He just showed me a little something. Instead of getting a little vision, running off and spending a lot of finance and coming back with a lot of broke. I've done it. God gave a word. I'm so excited. I'm not conscious in it. I'm just running wild. Now, if you think I'm hyped up now, I used to be a fireball. You could tell me nothing, and you always get out of my way, because if it was about Jesus, I'm a make it, you know, and even though I wasn't living right all the way, I'm going to jump off the walls. I'm going to jump off the ceiling. I'm going to flip, trip, and do everything else to exemplify that I'm a Christian. I was out there. I was wild. I get a vision and run with it and come back the next day with my tail between my legs saying, all right, Daddy, you told me not to. I wish I would have listened. See, I used to be hard-headed. I hope nobody's out there laughing at me that know me. But I used to be hard-headed. It was my way, even such a little kid. You know, God revealed something to me the other day. You know, I always blame that when my dad would have let me do this. I should have been this. I would have, could have, should have been that. You know, I don't know where I got it from. And maybe that's not the proper English for the English majors out there, but I don't know where I got it from. But for a long time of my life, and I think I just finally got truly delivered from this, but I walked around with a spirit of sabotage. I sabotaged so many instances in my life because it would have did the right thing. And it wasn't my way because it didn't sound like the way I wanted to say it. And I may be talking to somebody right now. This may be touching you right now because I sabotaged a lot of the greatness that could have been in my life and went through my life blaming God. But still having the stupidity. Now, this is for me. I'm talking about me right now. And still having the stupidity to expect something from him. After I'm not doing what he's telling me to do, after I'm not listening to what he's saying, and even when he still blessed me when I didn't deserve it, I'm so hard-headed that I sabotage myself. True testimony. But glory to God, he awakens us because even when we think we get over it, it's not over. You cannot graduate from a going through circumstance. You must learn from that thing, learn not to do it again, but you must now go through something else. But what happens is we'll go through one thing, feel victorious, and something else come, and we get tired. I can't do this no more. And we fall. The good thing about God is that he'll forgive you immediately. When? Right now. Bible says 7 times 70, just so many numbers. That you could take the excuse and say, oh, well, I got 995 more times. I'm telling you today you don't. Today is the day, right now, that you have the opportunity to do it different than you did just 5 seconds ago. So we recognize, we identify on whether it's good or not so good. We organize it. You know what? See, organizing is when you go into the thinking like Christ and saying, I know if I go over there, that boy know I ain't drunk a beer in 2 years. And he know I love me some Coronas. And if I go over there, the first thing he going to buy me is a Corona, not with a lime, but with a lemon. And then my temptation is going to be tripled on me. And why should I even have to go through that temptation? See, that's making a conscious choice. I know if I go over there already, I'm going to be tempted. You already know it. But we'll still go thinking that we're so big in the word now that we can't get through. Your flesh will tempt you again and again and again and again. So why not be proactive and just stay where you're at, knowing that you're safe in his arms, knowing that you're protected, knowing that you're in the zone where nothing that is not of him is going to come. So we recognize, we identify, we organize it, arrange it, make a plan. Look to the future. Speak those things that are not as if they are or as if they were. And number 4, then you have to file it. Now, you got 2 file cabinets over here in the conscious mind. You have a file cabinet of remembering God's goodness. That's one file. That's one file you'll keep forever because some days won't be a brighter day. You have to have something to fall back on that will motivate you that God is all he said he would be. Then you have another file, and we're going to call that the file that is an inferno. That fire over there was hotter than the fire that was killing the guards around Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You guys know the story. They were protected. There was only 3, and they seen 4. And on top of that, the metal was so hot, it killed the guards outside the door. This inferno has to be hotter than that. It has to be so hot that when you put in a past memory, a past file, or something that is not pleasing to God, it has to be so hot that you won't go back and try to take it back. It has to be destroyed. It has to be put on the altar as a sacrifice. It has to be burned away. It has to die. It cannot live. Remember, and you can write this at the very bottom where you see that little hook drawing. If you live by your past, you will never be any better than you were in your past. I don't, good or bad, if you were not good at what God called you to do in your past, you thought you were doing the right thing. You thought you should have been. You thought, but it never pleased God. Don't try it again, because you'll never do any better than you did back then. Don't we want better? Don't we want to grow? Don't we want to explode instead of the spirit imploding? Someone may ask right now, what's an implode? An implode is a backwards explosion. See, the more and more you go through things, it now makes a opposite note motion than the Holy Spirit makes. So it is a constant battle with the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit's going right, believe me, it's going left. It's trying to give you an alternative, another choice. See, we can always put that back on Adam and Eve. This choice thing came from sin. They didn't used to have any choice because there was no choice to need, because God was the source of everything. He was their secret place. They didn't have to go run ahead of him. They could hear him coming. They didn't have to make a celebration. They knew that he was an all-time God, ready to do an all-time thing. When? Right now. But because we have that choice, because you can choose to listen and you can choose not to. You can choose to give and not to. You can choose. You have the choice. No one can make you do anything you do not want to do. It's up to you. Remember, we'll keep driving this through the whole Provoke challenge, that all of this is contingent on what you're willing to do for your salvation. Yes, there's a covering because you got a praying grandmother. Yes, there's a covering because the evangelist, the bishop, the pastor, the apostle, the prophet, they pray for you. And yes, you're running off of their anointing. And we wonder why we got to help them and carry them so much, because they're rendering their anointing out to those who really don't deserve it. Because they're not in a place to receive anointing and to let the anointing grow. All it does is destroy. Write this word down for me. There's a word. It's called entropy. E-N-T-R-O-P-Y. Entropy. You can look it up in a dictionary, but I will give you a fast definition right now. Entropy is anything that leaves its source. From the time it leaves its source, it is now in a state of decay. Let me say that again. Entropy. It is the state that any living thing is in once it leaves its source. Watch this. When you were born, if you could have stayed in your mother's womb on her lifeline and she stayed to her mother's lifeline, and everybody would just live. But when you disconnect that umbilical cord with your mother's womb, your body from that day goes into a state of decay. Well, how is that? I didn't decay. Well, yes, you did. You got two. You got three. You got four. You're getting older. You don't look as young as you used to. You can't run like you used to. See, that is a state of decay. It's what your body is trained to do. It wants to return from what it came from. It was made of dirt. It wants to go back to the dirt. It's in a state of decay. So you have to understand that your subconscious mind will always pull you to death, because that's what it's trained to do. It's trained to return to from what it came. It's in a state of decay. Decay means to die. to rot, to dissolve. See, we don't want that in our lives. But guess what? See, we don't have to worry about the flesh because the flesh is going to do whatever it wants to do. But the spirit will control the decisions that the mind make. And then glory to God, he gives us nutrition. He gives us workouts. He gives us water. He gives us walking. He gives us all these tools to keep the flesh up so we don't have to decay as fast as we are. See, it's a choice. You know, some people say, well, Pastor, I'm big-boned. But you got a bucket of chicken, ice cream, cakes. I'm speaking from experience. I'm just coming off of losing 45 pounds in a year. I feel great today. It was a struggle, and I didn't do it the right way. I just starved myself 1 meal a day, water, walk, water, walk. But I should have been eating more healthier. Now, God has provided that in my preparation stage now, that he's given me another nutrient. He's given me some more things that are going to help me because, let me tell you something, family, in nutrition, if you go to a doctor and he says, well, you're lacking this, you're anemic, you're this, you're that, there's not enough broccoli, cauliflower, or any other vegetable in this world to get you back in levels of acceptance. It's going to take something extra. Doctors will tell you, well, yeah, I'll give you this, I'll give you that. But it's not. You can't just go, well, okay, I'm anemic, and I haven't been eating vegetables. I haven't been eating fruit. I'm just going to eat fruit and vegetables every day. I guarantee you, you're going to stay at the same level you are. You may be a little bit healthier, but those levels that are in, they're locked in, those levels won't move. You need something drastic. So you must look for something that's going to bring you into balance. We must keep the flesh up as well as everything else. It's just not the first thing we work on. We can fight the fight against decay. And the only reason I'm bringing entropy up is because I want you to understand that your body is pulling you to do the wrong thing. It wants to do something that represents death. Because that's all it knows. Well, you'd be like, well, wait a minute. You're talking about the brain. Well, the brain does control everything. Your foot will not get moved if your brain doesn't tell it to. Your eyes will not blink if a nerve in your brain has not sent the electrode and the transducer of energy to the eyebrow or to the eye the eyelash to blink. Clap your hands with me right now. You already started clapping in your head. You saw it happen there. You spoke it out, and then you start clapping. That's your brain making you clap right now. That's not just because your hands are saying, oh, I love my other hand. I love my other hand. No. Start clapping faster. See, that's your brain telling you, see, stop. That was your brain that told you to stop. But who was the one who was able to make the decision? You were. Your brain will not just automatically start doing something. Well, maybe for some people it does. But for most people, your brain will not start making you do stuff that you don't want to. It will give you a choice to make. Because we don't want to just be walking around in line at McDonald's and all of a sudden your hands just start clapping. So as we make these choices, as we understand that there is a chain of command, there are a linear line of principle I can follow, that I must first what? Recognize. I got to be aware. You have to pay attention, family. Number two, you must identify. You got to stop letting stuff in your environment that without going through the principle of qualifying and requalifying. So you can't just qualify something once. You have to requalify it because you may not have heard it the right way the first time. Or it might not have been said the right way. You know how it is. Something said on the east, by the time it gets to the west, well, it's a whole different story. You drive your car, before you drive those 10 minutes to get to the west, you get over there, it's a story about you, and it's totally separate than what you told somebody on the east. So we have to qualify. We have to requalify. We have to verify and re-verify. Is it good for me? We go back. Remember I told you there's some memories that will be stored that are for our good pleasure because they remind us. Oh, no. You remember when you, okay, watch this. Everybody going to remember this because I bet you everybody had this instance. Everybody. You remember your mom used to always tell you, she's on the stove cooking. She said, don't touch that. It's hot. You didn't do it because she was there. Next time, you almost snuck up, and she didn't see you automatically. You were just about to touch the handle, and she turned around. She said, boy, girl, didn't I tell you don't touch that? It's hot. You know, for some of you that are my age, our parents used to cook with, those wrought iron skillets that the whole thing might get hot. You had to have a glove, an oven glove around it to hold it. And that third time, she just went, and, you know, you being strategic because you just want to touch that thing because somebody told you you shouldn't. That third time, when she turns to go to the sink, it turns the water on, that's your opportunity. And you scoot over there and grab that handle, and what happens? It burns you because it is hot. See, now you have a touchstone to remember the next time you walk in there, your mother don't even have to tell you that no more because those good and perfect memories that will stop us from doing the bad thing again are still available. Well, some bad habits, some past experience need to die and not even be spoken again. It must die. A couple of weeks ago, we need to have a funeral. A man of God was on here, and he was talking about having a funeral, dressing up, putting on black, having a procession, getting a eulogy together, having a celebration afterwards, that some of us need to take some stuff that we still holding on to and have a funeral today. Because all it's doing is reminding you of that same stuff. Pastor, I can't get rid of that. I loved him so much. I can't stop doing that. I loved her. She was my first love. Family, if it's not pleasing to God, you need to get rid of it. How do I know if it's pleasing to God, Pastor? Well, that will answer itself because they will do nothing but give you advice, give you support, and give you their time to also spread the word of God. You know, everybody's not called to be a preacher. Everybody's not. There's different places. There's different things to do. There's different titles. There's different positions that God has called all of us to take up. But there's something for you to do. No more can we give the excuse that I'm just not good enough for that, or I just don't deal with people. No, there's something for you, just like there is for me. But we must file this information. We must destroy the stuff that we don't need anymore. You know they show hoarders. You go in these people's houses and they look at all this stuff that people been holding on for 50 years. I tell people all the time, if you didn't use it yesterday, get rid of it. Well, maybe not yesterday. If you used it in a week, you might want to question, do you really need it? If it's been in your closet for a year, I will say this, give it away. Oh, I was saving that dress for when I get back down to size 8. Give it away. Just go and give it away. Man, I've been holding on to them shoes. Man, my feet didn't used to be this wide. You know, our feet swell when we get older. Man, give the shoes away. I know they cost $500. Just give them away. That clutter of our spiritual closet is so complete with stuff that don't belong there anymore. We wonder, why can't we get any better? It's because of all the luggage that we carry around. It's because of all the stuff that we are not willing to get rid of. It's because of all the people that we don't find the confidence enough to tell them, hey, man, I love you. I want you to be a part of my life, brother. I want to do ministry with you. But from this day forward, if you are not in line with what I'm doing over here and not in line with me, what I'm doing over here, and I'm doing this Jesus thing, then, brother, we got to cut ties, man. I'm going to still pray for you. I'm going to still love on you. And when you finally get it, I'm going to still be here with open arms waiting on you. But from this day forward, I cannot allow you to kill my blessings. I cannot allow you to to send the Holy Spirit the other way. Because here comes this living water. It's flowing right at you. And then here comes this distraction. Here comes this unworthy. Here comes this lie. Here comes this cheat. Here comes this that gets right there when the Holy Spirit about to come. And guess what the Holy Spirit does? Because he will not be involved in anything that is not of God. It goes around you. And you got a conscious choice to make. When? Right now. To see it coming and say, oh, no, bro, you got to get out the way. And anyway, I'm sorry I didn't tell you earlier, but I can't deal with you no more. We got to get what God has for us when? Right now. See, our choices will make us or break us. See, us acquiring proper knowledge will give us all that we need to make the choice God has told us to do. When? Not too late. When? Not too late. One more time. When? Too late. See, we have to start to see it before we saw it. That's why as a man thinketh in his heart, his mind, so is he. We have to see it in our minds before we say it with our mouth. There's a place that you can make a conscious decision and do it, play it all the way out, see the whole scene. If I do this, it just takes a little patience. Yes, you can. But if I do this, this is going to be the outcome. If I do this, this is going to be the outcome. Now you can make a conscious choice and say, you know what, I'm tired of that. Man, I won't go through that no more. And now you elevate to God. And now you accept him as your Lord, your personal Lord and Savior. No longer am I serving Pastor Ed's God. Or no longer am I serving, liberal Democrats to God. Or no longer am I serving evangelist Bernard's God. I'm serving my own God because it's personal to me. No, it doesn't take him away from them. It doesn't say he's any better than you and them because he's no what? Respecter of person. But he's so much God that he has enough for all of us. He is developing over billion relationships at the same time. That's how great a God we serve. When? When? Right now.
Right now, right now.
Right now. Okay, now look at your drawing. I'm going to post tonight the finishing of the drawing where you can print it out and have it for your records. Today will conclude step one, changing the way you think. I've given you all the information that I have for that, and you now can take that word and activate it in your life. Now you can take that word and do what it says you can do. When? Right now. So as you fill out under the Romans 8, 6, and 7, the part for the conscious mind, you put recognize, identify, organize, file away. And at the end of that, I want you to put there that whatever is not of God must be destroyed.
Mm.
On the red line going across, you need to write on there.
Must be destroyed.
If you did it in your past, you won't do any better than you did in your past. God has to be given all the glory. God has to be given all authority. See, when you could choose to say, yes, Jesus, he already knows you're ready to go where he's trying to take you. There's no battle. There's no fight. There's no question. There's no pain. There's no fear. There's no doubt. There's nothing but the glory of God that's being worshipped. That's being what? That's being worshipped. When? Tomorrow? Nope. When? Right now. It's available right now. We can do it right now. But it's up to you. Remember, this battle is ongoing. See, the enemy would love to keep us operating in our past, family. If he can distract us to stay in our past, we will do what? Nothing other than what we did in our past. Because now we go by faulty perceptions. See, when we choose life in Christ and allow God to lead and guide us not unto temptation, but to deliver us from evil, see, that is a submission to him. See, we must become seekers of God's truth. Seeking what? The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, it says, to seek ye, personal, first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. See, our goal is to be all that we can be for him so we can win the fight of faith, not the fight of Edward. But see, we have to make right choices, family. We have to make right decisions, family, choosing the right ways of doing things, not through the way you used to do it, but through Christ who strengthens us. And see, that's when we shall. The word shall in the Bible is a promise that we shall be overtaken by blessings everywhere, cities, fields, everywhere, home, work, everywhere. See, when we seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then it says all things will be added unto you. This means no longer can we expect the easy road, but we must begin to walk in principles, family. We have to become more than conquerors. You can't just stay at one position. You must grow and be elevated. You must be promoted. See, that means, you know, when you receive all things that can be added unto you, you see, now you can really begin again, because the first thing he's going to give you is life. He's going to give you life more abundantly. Don't think that you get saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and now here comes the fortune. Here comes the cars. Here comes this. What comes is life. And life comes more abundantly. When? Right now, you can live again. Right now, you can confess your sins. Right now, you can do greater things. See, this is the key part. When we line up with Jesus on earth, as it has already been done in heaven, completed, that means that God sets everything in motion. That means it's his plan, not ours. We will not follow the prince of this world. That is totally, say that with me, totally unacceptable.
Totally unacceptable. Hallelujah.
See, God has made a covenant with his people. Now watch this. In Hebrews 8:10, the Bible says that he will put his laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. He says, I will, it's a promise, he says, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. See, God has already promised that he's doing a spectacular thing for his people.
Come on.
He's ready to download so much information in your brain that now your body can get in line and do what it says do. The enemy comes to rob, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give life and life more abundantly.
Thank you, Jesus.
Watch this. Jeremiah 31 and 34. It says that no longer shall every man, no longer shall every man teach his neighbor and his brother, saying, know the Lord, but they shall know me from the least to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity. See, everybody can have an opportunity. And their sins will be remembered no more. Anyone has the chance. See, we have to live our lives on his word. We must fight the battle at hand. We must choose to walk after the spirit, and we must resist the flesh. It's time, family, to wake up. Woo, Jesus. It's time to get up. Hallelujah. It's time to move now in the confidence that God has called your name, in the courage to go places you would never go again, or no, not again, but in places that you have never thought of going to. The hope that tomorrow is going to be better because I live in my now. The faith that I don't have to see it, but believe it. And the trust. Woo, Jesus. And the trust. Hallelujah. And the trust that God is the source of everything we need. Say that with me. God is the source.
Is the source
of everything.
Of everything.
I need.
Thank you, Jesus.
I receive that, Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, Lord, we bless you today. We praise you. We magnify you, Heavenly Father God. We thank you, Heavenly Father God, that you alone are worthy of our praise.
Hallelujah.
Lord, today we pray today, Heavenly Father God, that not by power and not by might, but by your divine spirit shall we follow you. Lord, we submit to you and your authority.
Hallelujah.
You
yes,
shall
yes,
increase, but today we choose to decrease.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we thank you for these 2 years that you have moved to new destiny. We thank you for these 2 years, Heavenly Father God, that you have touched and supported Evangelist Bernard. We thank you, Heavenly Father God, for the 2 years that you have sown into each and every one of us that have assisted her.
Yes, God.
How you protected us. How you guided us. But Lord, as a team, right now,
yes, hallelujah,
we choose to go in another atmosphere for you. As a team, Heavenly Father God, we come under the spirit of unity right now in the name of Jesus, and we say yes, woman of God.
Lord,
we come into submission right now, and we say yes, use us, woman of God. We come to new destiny right now and say, no, whatever you say, it's a yes and an amen, new destiny.
Hallelujah.
We receive the calling that God has put in our lives, and we're here to do whatever God tells you to tell us to do.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Pastors, bishops, evangelists, prophets, apostles, laborers, we all come to you right now, evangelists, and we say, God said yes.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, God.
We all come right now and say, just tell us. Lead us in the direction, and we will go.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
We thank you today, Lord Jesus. We lift up Evangelist Bernard right now, Lord. We just pray that as each and every one of us join hand in the spirit, that we surround her with a fortified hedge of protection.
Thank you, Lord.
We don't just pray. We don't just pray a hedge of protection. We form a hedge of protection around her right now in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
No more attacks. No more pain. No more suffering.
Jesus.
No more lack. No more attacks. No more late, unsleeping nights. No more pain in your back. No more pain in your knees.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
But
complete
healing fall on you right now in the name of Jesus.
You God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
And it's not by power and might. It's by our divine connection that we have formed a hedge of protection around you.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we claim it. We receive it, and we believe it in Jesus' name. All those in agreement said amen. Come on, clap your hands for Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah,
thank
Lord.
You, Lord. Woo, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord.
Yeah, thank
woo,
you,
Jesus.
Hold
up, I shut that out.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you,
oh,
Jesus.
Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Mm. We bless you today, God. Hallelujah.
Oh, we thank you, Lord,
Lord
Jesus.
Lord.
We love you.
Jesus, we
thank
you.
You, Lord.
Oh, bless your name, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, all right.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
We just want to say thank you, Lord.
Oh, bless your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you. We thank you. We thank
hallelujah,
you.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Lord, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord.
Glory.
Oh, glory, glory,
thank
glory.
You, Lord. Thank
you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you. Hallelujah. Lift your hands up. I have everybody lines open.
Hallelujah.
We need to give God some praise.
Praise. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Word that we've
heard
today. Glory. I don't know about you all, but I've been broken. Hey, glory. This is our 13th day on this fast. Hallelujah.
All right.
Woo, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Restoring some yokes. Hallelujah. He's restoring some relationships.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I see the floodgates opening. Hallelujah.
All right, Holy Ghost.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You know,
hallelujah, Lord.
God for Pastor Hamilton, and I really haven't taken the time. It really has not marinated in my spirit. Just last Friday with this song, as I continue to hear and go back and listen to some of these messages, and just the thought of us doing this thing, it's beginning to marinate in my spirit. Spirit, and I want you all to know everybody that participated, made the sacrifice in that 6-hour praise-a-thon. I tell you, I was showing Sister Ruby how the man of God, Liberal Democrats, have put these messages on Twitter and have gotten them on YouTube, and I was showing Sister Ruby. And I even heard one message where I was speaking on there. All of these messages from this praise-a-thon, if you have a Twitter account, follow us on Twitter or go on YouTube, and you can hear these messages. And I'm just sitting here. God always brings people in your life. At the appointed time. To bless you. And this man, I tell you, on time for about 7 or 8 months. And he's always on fire. He's always excited. He don't ask for anything. He just come on and minister the word God gave to him. And I tell you, and then going on Twitter and seeing all of these messages in YouTube from this praise-a-thon that Liberal Democrat have done, and I was inquiring about getting this done, and the people were telling me hundreds of dollars, and this man of God have taken out of his busy schedule and have gotten this stuff on YouTube and Twitter and everywhere where people could hear these anointed messages. Folks aren't preaching the gospel like they were preaching it when I came in. You didn't have to get in a $100 line, Lady Roslyn. You didn't have to get a $1,000 seed to get in the prayer line and get prayed for. Hallelujah. Get oil, anointed oil, you know, placed upon your forehead where God can do something miraculous in your life. But now, hallelujah, you don't even hear folks talking about no blessing. Hallelujah. My Bible tells me about that oil. But I'm just feeling something right now. I got to get out of here. I tell you, I thank you all all of you all that made the sacrifice last Friday. God, I'm just asking God to just pull some latter rain on you all. Amen. And everything that we have need of, those that have ministries, those that have churches, those that are feeding the flock, I mean feeding the sheep, amen, and having that same love and compassion, those that are making sacrifices and they are fasting and praying, they are shutting in. We don't hear about no all night shut-ins anymore. Folks ain't shutting in the church no more praying. Some folks don't even want you to ask them about shutting in their building for a 24-hour prayer. Woo, you might get cussed out. You ask them to give you the keys where you and a few of the saints can go in there and shut in and pray. They don't want prayer in the church. Ah, glory to God. They remove them out of the school, pray out of the school, and guess what? They don't even have prayer in the churches no more. That's the least attended service, prayer. Hallelujah. But I tell you, we better come back to the drawing board. Come back all to right. the drawing board. Go back to the old landmark. But Pastor Hamilton, we just want to thank you. Thank you for your sacrifice. You've been with us. Almost at the early part of this year to the closing of this year, and we truly appreciate the sacrifice that you make to come on and minister to the people of God. I salute you and I commend you, and we certainly thank you for your faithfulness to this Provoked Friday and to this radio ministry. God bless you. Man, liberal Democrat, I just got to give some thanks out today, and just because my heart is overwhelmed as I've seen all these messages on Twitter, and I played a few of them, and I said, Lord, look at God. You know, he didn't ask us for a quarter. Amen. He has gotten this stuff together. So thank you, man of God. I thank God for all of you all, Prophetess Darlene, and all of you all that, Lady Rosalind, and all of you. Sister Stephanie out of Florida, God bless you. Sister Albertine coming on this line. Oh, God, y'all just don't know. Sister Ruby being at the switchboard and manning the switch. Sometimes I can't get you to do this, but Sister Ruby is prompt and on time. So I tell you, I'm looking for some great things for God to bless and reward you all with for your faithfulness to God and to God's precious people. The saints are precious in God's eye. Amen. So we have all the lines open right now, and we're just going to go down the line, and, you know, if anybody have any questions or a comment to Pastor Hamilton, do so at this. We're going to start at the top, Liberal Democrat Prophetess Darlene, and then we see some 832 numbers that we're not familiar with. We have your lines open also. Amen. Liberal Democrat.
Man, Houston in the house.
Amen.
Amen, amen. I praise God, brother. He taught that thing today. Amen. Kind of threw me a little bit when he's talking about the food, because I said, Lord, we got two more hours, and he's talking about chicken, and he's talking about this other. I was listening to all that when he was talking about the food part. I was like, all right, Holy Ghost. Two more hours. Amen. I love that. But this message was a rhema word for me as well, because I'm always talking about get out of your head, get out of your head, so you can get stuff done. And then the man of God was talking about, amen, Romans 8, 6, and 7, where it says, for to be carnally minded is death, but the spiritually minded is life and peace. And I so get that, because you can get paralyzed, like, you know, you get writer's block, you know, and you psych yourself out. And you stay inside your head, you really get paralyzed, and nothing gets done. And you know, and I work from a things to do list and whatnot on the computer, and if I keep staying inside of my head, nothing gets done. You know, I can hear the man of God saying, "Now, thank you, Jesus, amen. Do it now." And then when I got out of my head, I got stuff done, you know, because if you stay inside of your head, you'll keep redoing stuff and redoing it and say it ain't good enough, it ain't good enough. And, you know, it's your enemy to stay in your subconscious. So when the man of God was talking about your subconscious, all that stuff is always full because subconscious is like, it'll take you someplace. But we got to be reminded to get out of our head and get stuff
get
done
out
and get into the now. You know, and I received that, man of God. I mean,
amen,
I still receive
amen.
That. You know what I mean? Because once I got out of my head, you know, and I literally had that conversation with myself, get out of your head and get this stuff done. You know,
because
if you stay in your head, you procrastinate and nothing
amen.
To get done. You keep thinking about
nothing
it and thinking
done.
About it and thinking about it. So, amen, that was a word today, man of God. I appreciate you being obedient to the Spirit
Hello.
Of God and teaching that thing today. So God bless you. Hallelujah.
Well, God bless you too, man of God. Hey, you know, man of God, I just wanted to say to you, man, I love eating crumbs, so I'm looking for scraps every day. I told somebody that it came to me when you were speaking this. Scraps from heaven are better than any rich on earth.
Come on.
So I'd rather be in the scrap aisle from heaven than to have to even deal with the things of this world.
Yes, sir.
There is no comparison.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Woo, Jesus. Thank you, sir. Good word.
My Lord. Hallelujah.
Ooh, man.
See that, Holy Ghost.
Scraps from heaven. Come on now.
My God. All right now. Ha-ha. Thank you, Jesus.
Prophetess Darlene Davis.
God bless the Lord, everyone. God bless you all. I've truly
God bless
been blessed
you.
By the program on today. I've made it in my mind. I'm not going to be late today. I'll change my appointment around to another day, another time, because I made it in my mind I'm going to be on time. And I thank God because I felt the presence of the Lord from the worship to the end. So I just thank God, and I began to think
Hallelujah.
In my mind that I need to rearrange some things in my mind and set some things in order. So I thank God for you, man of God. Continue pressing and letting God use you mightly, because he is using you mightily. And I'm telling you, it's a change in my mind on today. So I thank God
Come
for
on
the
now.
Mind change. God bless you all.
Hallelujah. God bless you too.
God bless you. Okay, praise the Lord. Thank you, Prophetess Darlene Davis. We're going to Arizona.
We love you, Prophetess.
Oh, I'm sorry, Pastor. We're going to Asia.
No, I'm just...
Go ahead.
We're fine.
You want to
No, no, that was... No, I was just telling her that we love that. I was telling the prophetess that we love her.
Oh.
That was it.
Okay, God bless. We're going to 83201. Okay, thank you for tuning in. We're going to move on here to 5678.
All right, praise God. Well, this is Pastor Miracle in Miracle Bronson in Houston, Texas, and I was just so blessed today, I'm telling you. And you know what? Not just me, but me and my family were gathered around the phone, because I'm telling you, everybody in my house was getting provoked. Praise the name of the Lord. And I just feel the presence of God, and the word of God was powerful, was excellent. And we've just been so blessed, and I feel God right now, and I'm just very grateful for the ministry, for this Blog Talk Radio, for you, Evangelist, and for all that God is doing. And so I'm thankful for the changes that I'm going to implement as a result of this word today. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Know you're loved and appreciated.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Okay. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Miracle. Okay, we're going to 832-3242.
All right, go to the next one. Just go to the next one.
Okay. Oh, Sis Albertine.
Hello, can you hear me? Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, praise the Lord. How are you? That message was really right on time. It was some things that about, like you said, being consistent and persistent and listening and hearing from God. And it's our time to step up to the plate and start doing the things, you know, because God has already set the plateau, and now we have to put things into motion. And don't procrastinate, you know, do the things that, you know, the will of God, and be consistent and persistent. And it's amazing because even through a lot of trials and tribulations, the last couple of months I've been going through, I still have been persistent in my writing, persistent in doing the things that God has been telling me to do. And I've gotten more done within the last, I feel like, month and a half, 2 months than I have in years. So,
come on now.
You know, it's, you know, it's nothing but God. And I thank you for that message. And sometimes, you know, you feel like you don't want to write, or you feel like you don't want to, but, you know, you have to keep reiterating that word of God and know that even though you're going through trials and tribulations, you have to press through because, you know, it's not going to be always, and you will get through it. And then the blessing, you know, is just right on the other side. And it's just staying focused. And sometimes that's hard. That's the hard part. But
that's right.
That message was powerful, and I thank you. And God bless you.
God bless you, too. God bless you.
Oh, God bless. Thanks, Sister Albertine. We're going to Sister Patrice. Sister Patrice. Okay, we're going to Lady Mars.
God bless you all. I came in on the 11th hour, but I just want to say that my spirit was blessed on the day. I thank God for the teaching that we heard on today because, you know, even in the midst of, you know, listening to the word and all the spiritual things, this type of teaching, it is so needful in the body of Christ. And as the man of God was saying, everything starts in your mind. You got to first get your mind together, and you got to have that spirit to push yourself and implement things. And so many of us think that we can just pray or name it and claim it, and that God is just going to just do some things. But
come on, help us today.
I'm reminded of Moses when he came to the parting of the Red Sea, and he was looking for God to do things. And the Lord said, what do you have in your hand?
Yes.
And he told him to stretch it out. So many things, it is within us. And we're praying and asking God, you know, do this. But we have not done what we have the ability to do. Scripture says man's experience is God's opportunity. So God will never come in and do what we have the ability to do. So when those things he's placed in us or those callings that he had, if we begin to stretch out, if we begin to activate those things, that's when he comes in and he unctions, he anoints, and he blesses. So this is something that constantly needs to be taught until our minds are transformed. And once we hear the word, you have to take this word right here. You have to immediately begin to put it into action. When you're hearing it, you have to examine yourself, see where you are. And if you are procrastinating, you say, this is me, the Lord, help me. And it is something you have to constantly stay on self. We're going to do this.
That's right.
Many people are disorganized. They have no order in their natural life. So, therefore, you're not going to have order even in the things of the spirit realm. First natural, I'm going to let it go. But I love, this is my first time hearing this, man of God. I love it. Man of God, just keep going forth. That's all I'm going to say.
God
and
bless
I've been
you.
Blessed by even the other comments that have come forth. God bless you all.
God bless you, too. Know you're loved and appreciated. Sister Ruby? All right. Are we still on the line?
Yeah, we're still on the line. I'm sorry.
Okay. No, it's okay. We go to the next one now.
I was calling Sister Dawn.
Oh, okay. No, I couldn't hear you.
I'm sorry. Sister Dawn? Okay. We're going to go back to Sister Patrice. Sister Patrice?
Yeah, wait for Uncle, okay?
Okay, and we're going to go back. to Pastor Hamilton. The word was just a blessing and anointing. Pastor Hamilton, back to you.
Well, praise God, everybody. I tell you, I'm excited what God is doing in this in these last days of the old season. I am really encouraged and at liberty to share some stuff today. I'm glad we have a little extra time and nobody had a lot to say, because I was sharing with Evangelist Bernard this past week that God is taking her ministry and those of us connected to her, no matter how big a church is or what you have going on, but our commitment to touching and agreeing with her, that God is taking us and getting ready. He started off with the fast. When that came up, all those that jumped on the truck and are riding down the road with us and doing this fast are those that have chosen to step into this new season that we're going. In these last days of 2013, of the old season, I want to encourage everyone to find yourself, to motivate yourself, to get into a lifestyle of preparation. And in this preparation is when you start to take off the old stuff, the old clothes, the old attitudes, the old everything. No matter how far you think you are or how low you think you may be, in these last days of this old season, God is ready to take all you have that is not required, that is not acceptable, and he's going to take it away. But it takes discipline and the obedience to step out on it right now and to accept the claim and to accept your responsibility to let it go. Now, in this preparation, family, God is getting ready to do something, and I know for a fact, I spoke it, and I've already seen it coming, and I see the vision. New Destiny is going to go nationwide. New Destiny, God, and I'm not going to speak at all because God is putting things in place, but New Destiny is going to be seen in every state, in living rooms, in jobs, in bathrooms, in break rooms, wherever there's a iPad, a device, a phone. New Destiny is going to be connected. God has shown me this. But the ones that he has sent, we must be prepared to go to the next season. In this next season, in our new beginning, you can call it 2014 if you want to, but in the new season, meaning everything from before is dead and it's going to be new. And if we can prepare ourselves, we're getting our bodies in order. Look how the fast came first, family, and we're getting our bodies accustomed to some training. We're getting our flesh in accordance with a habitual lifestyle. Once you get the body in line, well, once you get the mind in line, which we're working it, and you get the body in line, and now the struggle is, as I said earlier, halfway already done. We can relinquish problems and worries about stuff that really don't even matter anymore. Conversations that we would spend an hour on that really didn't bring one way or the other can be let go, and we can use our time effectively. Effectively. We all have been given the same 24 hours in a day. And what we do with these 24 hours collectively will determine the success of this movement. Now, I say yes to his will. I say yes to his word. I say yes to his ways. And I'm ready to go. I'm in preparation. I know this is my old season is getting ready to be dead, no matter how good I did in the last season. He's calling for a new season, which means a new way of thinking. A new way of talking, a new way of acting. Now, we've taught on the brain. Next week, we're going to go into step two, and we're going to actually now, we're going to go through thoroughly the battleground. You have the conscious mind, you have the subconscious mind, but what's in the middle of both of them is called the battleground. And we're going to explore the battleground and how we can win this battle. And I want you to invite somebody. Usually there's a charge for the P2P challenge. Normally it's per person charge. If there's this many, if there's a lot of different pricing, we're not going to that because this is free. this information that usually we go out and God blesses our ministry to do greater work, this is free. And until we finish the whole seven steps, it's going to be free. But I'm asking, and this was put on my spirit by the Lord today, is that you must bring somebody. See, we're called not to just have a convenient place to call on blog radio. We have to blow this blog radio up so we're forced to go to something else, to grow bigger, and that new destiny will be where the new destiny is called to be. But we have to blow this thing up. We can't just be comfortable when I made it for myself. If you believe in what we're doing, you must invite someone to come. You must invite someone to come on, get on Facebook, check the P2P challenge board. Let's look at the drawings. Let's talk to each other. Let's ask questions so we can get answers, and then we can make right choices because we have followed the instructions. This is not a joke. This is not pretend. This is not playing around having church. This is real life, grown folks stuff that we need as adults so we can make better youth, that we need as adults that we could get out of people saying, well, he's stuck in his ways, he ain't going to change, or she done did this. It's time for a new way of doing things. I believe in new destiny. I believe in what God has done in this connection, and I am 100 million percent, trillion percent, however many percent you need to guarantee it, I am that much behind her and this ministry. So I implore you right now to get in line. If this is God is keep speaking to you about this ministry, step up to the plate. Now, there's a place for everybody. Step up to the plate and offer what God is putting on your heart, that we can get in line and we can do what we say we're going to do when we say we're going to do it. But it's going to take unity, family. It's going to take oneness. It's going to take the ability for us to listen to one person and then follow instructions. No matter how great you think you are, no matter what position you're holding right now, if you buy into God's calling in these preparation days, we must get in unity and watch what God is going to do. I've seen it. Paint the picture here, because I've seen the word. I've seen the word turned into perception, and now I'm ready to do it. But because seasonal, we must follow instructions. What Ecclesiastes 3, there's a time and a place for everything. When? Now. So we must be prepared. I'm imploring you to get prepared. I'm imploring you to take this thing serious. Not just Provoke Fridays. We as a team, as a family, need to be coming on Monday. You may not be able to make every day, but at least show some support to the team. And nobody asked me to say this. I'm telling you, this is coming straight from the Holy Spirit. I didn't have a pre-meeting with the evangelist or with Liberal Democrat or anybody else. We have not discussed. This is coming from the Spirit of God, that we must do better, and we must buy into this movement. And I'm talking about with 150%. Yes, you can do it with your own ministry and partner with this. Yes, you can still take care of your kids and do this. Yes, you can work your job in excellence and do this, if that's what God is saying. But I'm telling you now, it's time. And now is the time that God told me to speak it, because when we cross over, and I'm not saying this maybe I am, but I'm not trying to tempt you or make you, maybe I am. But maybe I'm putting a carrot in front of the, no, I wouldn't want to do that. But I'm saying this, what God is about to do, don't be one of the few, which is only going to be a few, that look back and say, I wish I could have, would have, because God spoke to me and I didn't move. Now is the time to move. It's not doing anything supernatural. It's not sending $1,000,000,000. Now, if you did, I'm pretty sure it would be received. But it requires nothing of you but being obedient. There's no stress. There's no pressure. This is obedient. Taking the obedience and saying, I'm going to sacrifice, but I'm going to mind somebody this one time. I am going to obey this one time. I am going to change the way I think. And my life will never be the same. Now, Lord, I thank you today, Lord. I thank you for your word. I thank you for my obedience, Heavenly Father God. Mm. I thank you for my willingness to just do what you told me to do. Lord, I thank you for my obedience to step out of self right now, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you right now, Lord, for obedience. I thank you for every person that's under the sound of my voice that has received this divine prophetic word. They move on what you're telling them in their spirit right now. Yes, it may be a little jittering in your stomach. Yes, it may be a scratching in your palm. You know, they may say it's money. It may be an itching behind your ear. But whatever notion, whatever touchstone is remembrance of God's goodness. Any touchstone that you feel right now, that is confirmation from the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we thank you for that today. We praise you. We magnify your holy name, Lord, and we just say we love you. And we just say, yes, 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 have your way. In Jesus' name. Thank you, family. You're loved and appreciated. Invite somebody for next week. I'm going to post the new drawing this week at some point. I will recap the brain drawing one last time with a printed out teaching that you can print out. You can save it, scrabble it, do whatever. But I implore you, take this thing personal. It's real. We thank you and we praise God for you. Amen.
We thank you, Pastor Helms. It was just a blessing. And excuse me. And we got a treat. He sent over, you know, Pastor Hamilton is a psalmist, and he sent over two of his tapes. One was Rain. We played that at the beginning. But now he has another one, Because of Who You Are. So we're going to to him. See you on Sunday for early Sunday morning prayer.
Early Sunday morning prayer.
Yes, 5:00 Pacific time. And then Saturday they overcame, 5 o'clock our time. 8 a.m. Central. So be governed. So I'm going here to Pastor E because of who you are.
All right. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Not for what you've done and not for what you're going to do, but just because of who you are. Oh, Lord, we bless your name today.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I lift your name on high. Oh Lord, I worship you. Because of who you are, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, I worship you. I worship you because of who you are. Come on, you can sing with me. Because of who you are, I give you praise.
Because of who you are, I give you praise.
Come on, tell it. Because of who you are, I lift your name and lift my hand and pray.
I have to get excited about this. They call it Jehovah Jireh.
I worship you.
time with me because of who you are. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I lift my voice and say, Jesus. Love you, family. Talk to you Sunday.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Have a blessed weekend. We see you Sunday, early Sunday, early morning prayer. And Saturday, they overcame with Minister Burns and his wife. They host the show. 7 o'clock there, 8 o'clock their time, and 5 o'clock our time. Okay, God bless. Thanks for tuning in.